The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus addressed this parable to those who were convinced of their own righteousness and despised everyone else. Two people went up to the temple area to pray. One was a Pharisee, and the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee stood, took up his position, and spoke this prayer to himself. O God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I pay tithes on my whole income. But the tax collector stood off at a distance and would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and prayed, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, the latter went home justified, not the former. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord. Good. Once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Jesus says, I tell you, the latter went home justified. Latter went home justified. So let's ask this question this morning. What does it mean to be justified in God's sight? Very important question. Simply, it means that you're a friend of God. To be justified in God's sight means that you're loved by God, embraced by God, taken to God's own heart, that you're pleasing to God, worthy of heaven, that you're loved as though you were the only love in the entire universe to God's heart. That's what it means to be justified. Now let that sink in as you think about the tax collector. What on earth has the tax collector ever done to be God's sole love in all the universe, loved with all his heart and worthy of heaven? What on earth has the tax collector ever done that Jesus would call him justified? His entire life has been nothing but a string of sins and failures. And please let's not forget, tax collectors weren't like, you know, IRS employees. They were ranked in the Jewish law with murderers and thieves and prostitutes, and for a reason. They spent their lives stealing and financially ruining their enemies. These were nasty people who did great harm. What on earth did he ever do to call himself justified? And the answer is, very simply, that he threw himself before God's mercy in humility and honesty. Once upon a time, I heard a retreat, and the theme of the retreat was, God's mercy belongs to those who do not deserve it. And I first thought that that was scandalous. I've come to realize that it's true. God's mercy belongs to those who do not deserve it. Why? Why is that the case? Well, the answer to that is that God, first of all, he's all-powerful, let's not forget. God created the entire universe with a single thought. And God loves dearly what he created. Very, very dearly. It was all made as if you were the only one that he made it for. He loves you in inexpressible closeness and warmth that you simply can't even put into words in human terms. And then sin defaces us, defiles us, and really harms us. But when we turn to God in our weakness, helplessness, powerlessness, and we admit to him that we're sorry and that we cannot help ourselves, and we beg for his mercy, you know, it makes a claim on God's fatherly heart. It makes a claim on God's fatherly heart. We don't realize just how good is God's fatherly heart. He's better than the best of all imaginable fathers. It makes a claim on his heart, and it's as though we're blackmailing God. And he has no choice but to come and rush down, take us to himself, embrace us to his heart, and make of us what we were originally made to become. I've said this once before. When a reformed sinner is back in the Father's house, it's like he never even committed a sin. It's like it never even happened. Now, I say that, and people have a hard time believing it, a very, very hard time believing it. Most people think that God loves nice sinners, but not me. God loves, oh, I don't know, little children who eat too much Easter candy, or sweet little old religious sisters who forget to say their grace before meals, but not me. Not my sins. My sins are embarrassing. My sins are shameful. And this is just exactly the point. Sin really hurts us. And the worse the sin, the more a claim we have to God's mercy, the more his fatherly heart wants to scoop down, rush us up, pick us up, and embrace us and draw us to himself, the more he wants to justify us for petty sins, grave sins, shameful sins, spiteful sins, selfish sins, dirty sins, unmentionable sins, all of them. If only we'll do what this tax collector did, if we'll be honest, if we'll be complete, in other words, if we will repent. Now, take warning. Repentance is hard. Repentance is hard. Repentance means doing two things that are very, very hard for us to do. It means to admit and to renounce what we've done. Both of those are very hard to do. First of all, it's very hard for people to admit that they've done wrong. You'd be amazed. But most people, they make excuses for themselves. They do not accuse themselves, they rather excuse themselves, making long stories, talking about their circumstances, their upbringing, perhaps abuse, all a pressure, any kind of thing that somehow makes it okay. People, as you know, in the secular world, they'll spend millions and millions of dollars in legal fees before they'll ever have to admit that they did anything wrong. Have you ever been on the receiving end of this kind of an apology? You know, you expect someone to apologize and they say, well, I'm sorry you feel that way, right? Very hard for people to admit, to simply say the simple facts. I was free. I chose wrongly. That's the first step in repentance. Admit that you had freedom and that you chose wrongly. And the second step is to renounce. And that's very hard for people to do, because the more you sin, the more you build up a little world around you filled with circumstances that make it easier to sin again. A wise old priest once said, the path to healing is always blocked. As you try to do the right thing, you'll find resistance coming from friends around you. You'll find resistance coming from your immediate life circumstances. You'll find resistance from the habits that you've established within your own heart. The path to healing is always blocked. Repentance is hard, and it requires perseverance. So don't beat yourself up. If it takes multiple acts of repentance to move towards the same goal. But when we do, every time we're moving towards justification in God's sight. And this is confession. This is what confession is. What is confession? It's admit what you've done, renounce what you've done, and you go home justified. And God cannot help but pour out his mercy upon you, just like the psalm says, a heart contrite and humble, O God, you will not spurn. So, you know, as we muddle through life, making our slipshod way to heaven, let's remember the tax collector. And remember God's mercy. And remember that God created us for freedom, peace, and gratitude. Let's ask for the prayers of the saints to help us today. Saint Cyril of Jerusalem, pray for us.